All right, welcome to episode 2 of Popcorn with Candy. I am Octopus Caveman.
I'm Peter.
Today we're talking about 1975 comedy titled It Seemed Like a Good Idea at the time.
Yes.
This stars Anthony Newley, Stephanie Powers, and Isaac Hayes.
And according to some sources, stars John Candy.
Yeah, if you look on IMDb, it has a photo that just is one of these DVD repackages, and it's just John Candy stars in It Seemed Like a Good Idea at the Time.
Yeah, and that looks like a photo from Uncle Buck or something like that.
Yeah. So he is in it, and he's good in it. It's funny, but it's definitely not a John Candy vehicle.
Yes, it's not starring in any way.
This is a weird one. So right off the bat, it's got an animated title sequence.
Yeah, they were trying to be cute. It worked, kind of.
Yeah, it's got the weird VO work. Apparently that's Anthony Newley doing weird things as the credits go.
Yeah, he's like, walking, I kind of like the very end when he's walking by all the doors and just saying, okay, sound, beep, boop, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
And then animation, whatever.
Right.
And then all these writers, just a bunch of dumb stuff, and he makes fun of the director. It's got a bunch of references to things you don't understand till later, with a really bad Three Little Pigs reference.
Yeah, I caught that.
And you see John Candy in the credits. Once you know who he is and you see the credits, or the opening credits, you see it's John Candy and he just can't drive.
Well, I was super excited when I saw those opening credits because I knew it wasn't going to be like Class of 44.
Yeah, like, you knew it was going to be at least something interesting.
Yeah, I knew I might get a laugh or two out of it if I was lucky.
Yeah.
So this is a very convoluted movie.
Yeah. It starts with some dude. We find out his name is Sweeney later. He walks in on his artist buddy or roommate, Moriarty.
I didn't know his name until the very end of the movie.
Yeah.
In all my notes, it's just Anthony Newley.
Yeah, I had dude for half of my notes, dude. And then I'm like, okay, he's Sweeney, so I'll start putting both.
Yeah.
But his roommate buddy is... Moriarty is Isaac Hayes.
Yes, no, the greatest opening to any movie. Isaac Hayes is welding something. It falls apart. He goes, I gotta think. Goes into the bathroom. Then a door opens up again. He reaches his hand out, and Sweeney hands him a beer. Door closes.
I think I put this together after watching the whole movie. He's got a cutting torch, and he's cutting up whatever it is, and it just falls apart. And he's like complaining about 6 months down the drain. And Sweeney says, end of another artistic phase.
Oh, right.
It seems like Moriarty gets done with his art and then just destroys it.
Oh, yeah, that totally makes sense.
So I think that's what was happening.
Yeah, that makes sense to me now. Yeah.
Then after Moriarty goes into the bathroom with the beer, Sweeney looks all around like a weird cartoonish thief, grabs the cutting torch tools, at least the heads to it or whatever, and goes and sells them. You see him at like a pawn shop or something.
Your retelling of him going through these artistic phases makes it seem like way less of a dick move. Because I was just like, I thought this is supposed to be his friend, and he's selling his stuff. Because he's like, he's overwhelming.
Yeah. I was like, wow, he's a jerk. He's just selling his buddy's friend, his buddy's stuff.
Right.
But it does kind of make sense.
That totally puts it together.
If that's how he works, he's not going to use it anymore.
Yeah.
But then it just cuts to a construction site.
Yeah. I thought it was weird because it's like, you're like... 3 minutes in, and it's just like, I'm like, this is a toilet movie. Like, Isaac Hayes goes to the bathroom, and then it cuts to a security guard going to the bathroom in a porta potty.
Yeah, a great like, Royal Flush Toronto plug.
Right.
I grabbed the phone numbers and looked them up, trying to see if this Royal Flush Toronto exists.
Yes.
It doesn't anymore, at least by those numbers. I found one of the numbers is some diamond company in Toronto, but I like looking up phone numbers I find in movies.
Yeah, that would have been fun if that was an actual company.
Yeah. And so while the dude's in the porta-potty, some lady sneaks on the construction site and starts dropping sugar cubes in a diesel engine. I don't know back then, but nowadays it's pretty common knowledge that doesn't work.
That doesn't
do anything. Apparently sugar doesn't dissolve in gasoline, but diesel is much different than gasoline.
Right.
So it basically just sits in the gas tank and clogs filters, maybe, at most.
That's like a common movie trope, though, is like, oh, you put sugar in the gas tank, now the car's
fucked. Yeah. The dude comes out of the bathroom, chases her off, not her again, bunch of dumb comedic references. Yeah,
this is when I was just like, everything is ADR. Like,
oh, yeah.
Everything that security guard says, it seems like ADR. I don't know if it's synced up weirdly. There's parts where it doesn't seem like it, but there is a ton of ADR in this movie where they just threw in jokes.
I kept looking for bad syncing issues where they just didn't do the ADR well.
Right.
But I couldn't find any. It's just really bad audio. Like, they overdid it, and they didn't do a good job right. mixing it in.
It seemed like they just
yeah.
had somebody just pepper in jokes ADR yeah. at the end.
And then they mixed in a bunch of bad Foley and horrible audio cues.
I love the audio cues. It's some of them, it's very much just like, you're watching a comedy.
Yeah, but some of it was really bad.
Weird, and there's no consistency with the audio cues.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes it's like a synthesizer thing, and then other times it's just like a fart sound.
Or a tuba.
Yeah, or weird, like almost this kind of like theme song music.
Yeah.
It's just the audio is all over the place.
Yeah. So after the security guy scares off the lady sneaking onto the site, you cut to a guy in a pajamas, really mad on the phone. Says, right. Her again. Argh!
Right.
And it turns out that that's Mr. Prince, the owner of the construction company.
Right. I feel like this film, like, it could have been so much better with like a different edit. Like,
yeah,
it's at this point, it's just all coming at you so fast, and there's no character development here. Some of these things happened later on, like, if you just spent a few minutes getting to know some of the characters, I feel like it would have made more sense.
I feel like they were just trying to put so much into it that
right.
they didn't have room for character development, and they're trying to squeeze all that into some of this action happening.
Right.
Like, right away, you know that Mr. Prince, he's really mad at this lady that's on the construction site. And a second later, you find out that it's his wife's mother.
Right, because right after that, we cut to Newley and Stephanie Powers in bed talking.
Well, that's a little bit, that's just a bit later, because Prince is in his pajamas, and he's really mad on the phone, and he's yelling at Georgina,
right.
Stephanie Powers, about how he's really mad at her mom. And she comes out, and she's like, were you talking to me? It's
right.
the best piss somebody off move
right.
ever.
Yeah, like, totally.
You know they hear you, you're being really mad, and they come out, oh, were you talking to me? And then it does the whole, they get in a car, and they go somewhere, she gets out, and then it cuts straight to her in bed with Sweeney.
Yeah.
I was totally lost at that point.
Me too. And then the conversations are just those, like, let's fill this out conversations, like,
yeah.
oh, blah, 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 remember when we were married kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's all of that stuff that's just like, let's just throw as much character development into this one piece of dialogue as we can.
Yeah. They do their little chit-chat for a little bit. Then he goes, oh, what's this? And finds an invitation. And then
right.
apparently it's a politician.
I thought there was one of the funniest... There's like a funny piece of dialogue in that where they're talking and she says, like, you used to say I inspired you. And he goes, you couldn't inspire bathroom graffiti.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that was a great
that
line.
That was pretty good.
Just like, oh, sick
I liked,
burn.
I like the line where she says that he's not fit to lick her boots.
Right.
And he says, but he, pointing to the guy on the TV, the politician, he's fit to lick your husband's ass.
Right.
I'm like, okay, that's just a weird line to force that, oh, he's married, we're not married anymore. Okay.
Right.
It was like kind of forcing that in, but
definitely.
It was just really weird.
At this point, you're just so confused, but like, I think this movie, like, I almost want to go back and rewatch it, because it's enjoyable, but it's just so hard to wrap your brain around it.
Yeah, rewatching it would help. I saw the first 5 minutes again, and it helped a little bit, but
yeah.
It's just, I don't think I have the energy to watch it again.
I mean, Anthony Newley is great in this, I think.
I don't know, he was overdoing it. Really
I
kind of
like him,
Moore.
Though. Yeah, he's almost a Dudley Moore.
Yeah.
And Isaac Hayes is awesome in this.
He's okay.
And Stephanie Powers does a great job.
Yeah.
You know.
So, we're watching on YouTube, so we know it's censored. Apparently, I saw some places that it had some nudity in it, so
right.
that must explain these weird cuts that I kept seeing and really getting bothered by.
Right.
Because they're talking, they do the I can't figure out why I ever married you, and that gets to the, I used to inspire you.
Right.
You can't inspire graffiti in a bathroom. And then it cuts to her kind of defending herself for acting like a whore. Because we already know she's married to Prince, and she's sleeping with her ex-husband, Sweeney.
Right. We probably should have just found a place to rent this or something. Or
I'm fine without
it. Yeah, me too.
And nudity wouldn't have helped this thing.
Yeah, after that scene, Isaac Hayes and Anthony Newley are planning to sneak into a mayoral candidate's party.
Yeah, we get Moriarty hanging around at the apartment with pillows all over on top of the phone and stuff, doing some weird hippie stuff.
The mayoral candidate had like a great waspy name. I don't remember it. Burton Sinclair?
I think so.
Burton Sinclair. Like yeah, so they're going to sneak in.
I just keep
calling
him the politician. I didn't care about his name.
Yeah, I thought it was a great like waspy name, Burton Sinclair. This movie takes place in Toronto, but early on I was very confused as to where it was because I didn't catch the Royal Flush Toronto.
Yeah, it's Toronto. I know Toronto's a little weird.
It's just confusing because Anthony Newley's very British and even makes statements about being British in this movie. Stephanie Powers is kind of an American,
yeah.
So you're just kind of confused where it could take place.
Yeah, it was just weird.
And then her current husband, Prince, is almost New Yorker.
Yeah. So they get a bunch of copies of The Invitation, and they're trying to invite their crowd to this political gala that's being thrown at this lady's house.
Yeah, it's almost like Newley and Hayes are super hippies who are just like smash the system type of dudes.
Yeah.
It's not very clear what Anthony Newley does for work. He just seems to be like a schemer.
Yeah, he said a couple times that he's involved in the art scene, kind of. It's very vague.
He wears this like military jacket throughout that has a huge weed patch on the arm.
Yeah, it looked like a Vietnam era hippie.
Yeah.
Anti-military kind of jacket you'd
see.
So
he seems just like a failed hippie hipster dude who's just kind of like scraping by, but
yeah,
somehow has money to live.
At that point, you see him coming up in his weird... He's a bad driver. He's driving this crappy hippie pedophile van.
Yes, it's awesome.
Cuts off a cab driver and has some dumb emergency book ink transfusion excuse for the cab driver and drives away. Just a bunch of dumb, weird jokes that they're trying to force in to try to make this dumb, useless part of the movie make sense, and it doesn't.
Yeah, it really... The movie's only an hour and a half long, but it could have been a half hour shorter.
Yeah.
They could have cut this first half hour, because it doesn't really add to the plot or anything.
Yeah, the driving scene, that could have just been covered in the phone call. You didn't need to include the rest. And that just goes straight to Stephanie Powers, Georgina, showing up with the politician at this old lady's house.
She's at the party planner.
Yeah. No, it's her home.
Oh, okay. I thought she was the one planning it. And she's overseeing stuff being done.
Yeah,
and
some rich old lady. And she obviously looks down on the developer, and Prince, and his wife, Stephanie Powers.
Right.
And doesn't try to hide it at all.
That old lady looked like a skeleton.
She did.
With red hair and was awesome.
She was great. I loved that she couldn't finish a story. Just out there.
Yeah.
She would start a story and then just get interrupted. And they were building up to some awesome lines later.
Yeah,
developing her character so that the lines later would make sense.
This was very confusing in a write. Like, you would never see something like this in a movie, like, today. Where, essentially, you have the rich ginger lady character just in multiple scenes interacting with different characters. Stephanie Powers and the politician split, and then, boop, next scene, Anthony Newley shows up to interact with the party plant or the rich ginger lady.
Yeah.
You wouldn't see that, because clearly time has passed, but usually a movie would throw a scene in between. This movie doesn't give a shit about stuff like that.
I don't think time passed, because you see him waiting outside in the pedophile van.
Oh, that's right, okay.
And he watches them drive away and goes in right away.
Right.
So they were kind of telling that story, but...
Okay.
Well, they're there. She can't finish the story, and they walk into a room where these two ladies are setting a table.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite lines was... She calls in, I guess, the butler or something, and says, "These two young ladies are waiting. If you don't hurry, they'll never get laid."
Yeah.
Because they're, like, laying out the table, whatever's on it. It was just...
Very British comedy, just like...
Really weird, dumb comedy.
Right.
But that one was just straight out, "They'll never get laid." That's just kind
of
funny.
Yeah. Anthony Newley, or Sweeney.
Sweeney walks in.
One of the best parts of the movie.
And she's looking for one of her employees named Hortense.
Yeah.
And she says, "Was that Hortense?" And he looks back and says, "Well, I don't know. She looked pretty relaxed to me."
Yes, that was great.
I like that line.
Yeah, that was intense. I wrote that down, too. Oh, and then we cut to Isaac Hayes buying a 40-ounce bottle of laxative.
That was pretty awesome.
This was bizarre. So it's just like Anthony Newley fiddling around at the house.
Yes, what he said he was doing was setting up the theatrical equipment for the party.
Right, and it's just quick cuts of him doing something at the house, and then cut to Isaac Hayes with a shady-looking character.
Yes, he walks out of the medical supply place with the gigantic
40-ounce of laxative.
Of fast-acting laxative.
Yes.
He shows up at a strip club talking to a stripper, handing them a handful of invitations.
And then at, like, a carnival?
I don't know, but there was a little person.
There's a little person, but then he's also talking to like a carnival barker.
Yeah, there's a guy with painted face. There's
right.
A shady nightclub that he goes to the door and talks to the guys out front, and that's it. You just hear the music in the background.
Right, there's it's so confusing because there's these cuts, and you have no idea what's happening. Like, on a second viewing, you would watch that and be like, okay, I know where this is headed.
Yeah.
But the movie expects us to know where it's going.
After knowing what happens, I kind of know what Sweeney was doing. It just doesn't make sense why he would do any of that.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, the dog shows up and he freaks out. Oh my goodness, this little pug's gonna snitch on him. He's in trouble now. Let me put the dog in a box. Why'd you put the dog in a box?
I was just like, oh, this is a movie just being funny again.
It just looked dumb.
Yeah.
Why did you put the dog? Is the dog gonna say something? It just makes no sense. And then it gets to the party. Like, right away, there's the party.
Yeah. Just super waspy party. Looks boring as hell.
Yeah.
Some dialogue.
Dog
a lot
walks
of weird...
into the woods, and then you get this bad somebody trying to make a cougar type sound, and the dog runs away. And
yeah.
Sweeney walks in.
There's a lot of weird ADR going on in the party scene. Just strange stuff.
Yeah, and right away at the party, Sweeney walks up and gives Prince's driver a drink.
Yeah, throughout the party scene, they're just slipping this driver drinks.
Yes.
Isaac Hayes shows up. He's pretending to be a waiter.
Sweeney's in there BSing his way around the party, just really lame stuff.
Yeah, you know.
It was okay, yeah. But
again, this movie, just the whole beginning part is just not needed.
Yeah.
So
Georgina sees Isaac Hayes, Moriarty, at the party and freaks out.
Right.
And then she sees him walking away and sees Sweeney. So she hands the politician the salad she was about to eat, fortunately.
Right.
Because Moriarty had just been pouring a bunch of laxative on the salad.
Right, they poured the laxative in the salad dressing. And they do what they do in every movie, where, like, if something is, like, you know, like, if something is tainted in some way, it's somebody's favorite. So,
yeah.
Isn't it Prince that's eating it, and he's
walks
a lot
away
of weird ADR, like, this
Prince
is delicious.
Prince takes her salad.
Oh, this salad is amazing.
I'm gonna have more, and they
yeah.
both have a lot more.
It's very just weird ADR thrown in there while he's eating.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a bunch of laxative into the salad. Then a bunch of weirdos show up.
Well, you get the politician talking about Georgina's mother's house
right.
to her before the salad situation.
That's right, yeah.
And then afterwards, Prince walks up and they're talking about the house again. So the politician's playing both sides of the Prince family.
Yeah.
He wants her and he wants his money. For some reason, Sweeney's under the table where they're eating the salad. The dog walks under there and he's like trying to get the dog to do something. And so he just reaches over and bites Prince's leg.
Was it Prince? I thought it was the...
Was it the politician?
Yeah,
I don't remember.
I think it was the politician.
Okay, so he bites a leg and he throws the dog out from under the table.
Right.
And so he freaks out about the dog biting him. And then all of a sudden Sweeney's coming in from another room, holding the dog, saying, I've got him, acting like the hero. And
yeah, that was weird. I was just like, I don't know how he pulled that off.
That was weird. It just didn't make sense.
There's just not much to say about the party scene for me. It's just a weird scene.
It just got good at this point, though.
Because right.
that's when Moriarty and all his friends break out and do everything.
And this is, so Isaac Hayes shows up with a bunch of weirdos, and then we start getting the awesome audio cues. So basically, to show the laxative is kicking in, they just straight up play a fart sound.
That was like a tuba going, wah, wah.
Yeah, it's like a gurgly fart sound, though.
Kind of, yeah. You just don't know what's going on. Is he actually farting? Is he just stomach gurgling?
Yeah.
And just like, uh-oh, I'm in trouble. The old lady that owns the house is like, we better get this moving. And her guy goes up and starts to announce the politician. And that's when his stomach starts bothering. He's trying to get out of the room. And Prince stops him and they go up to the thing and he starts to talk. And then, more tuba. And he runs off.
I just think we should blow through this scene. It's just everybody's fighting for the bathroom. And
yeah, it gets to that where
Isaac Hayes
freaking
turns
out.
It into a rockin' dance party.
Everybody seems to love it.
Yeah.
Everybody who finally gets out of the bathroom is having a good time. You see Prince enjoying himself when he just forces way past a bunch of people at the bathroom.
It was like such a letdown, because in every movie if laxative is introduced, there's going to be an intense diarrhea scene.
Yeah.
And in this one, it's just some waspy white dudes fighting for the bathroom door, and then they have a great time rocking out with the weirdos. Like, the weirdos aren't even... They don't ruin the party for anybody except for
the old
Stephanie
lady.
Powers.
And the old lady.
Yeah, and the old lady. Those are the only two people not having a good time.
Yeah, and Prince is really having a good time, because on his way out, as Georgina is dragging him, he stops and, like, feels up the maid.
Yeah.
And you hear him say, cute little can you've got there, baby.
Right.
You don't see him say it. He's on screen, not speaking, but you hear his voice saying that.
Again, weird ADR.
So they get in the car, and they drive home.
Yeah, so at Prince, this point, Prince I'm thinking, and Stephanie Powers are driving home.
Now we're at attempted manslaughter right here because the driver is hammered, right? Right,
yeah.
But for some reason, nothing's happening.
Yeah.
So they get in a fight, and
he basically says he's going to burn down or tear down her mother's house.
And cut her
off.
It's over.
She's been cut off.
It's over for them. He gets out of the car, and it turns out the driver is Sweeney right now. Cut to Sweeney pulling up to her mother's house.
Yeah, that was a weird passage of time there.
Not good cuts anywhere throughout this. Well, actually, before he shows up at the ex-mother-in-law's house.
We've got more security guard torture.
There is that security guard where he steps out of the trailer and falls into a puddle.
Yeah, it's been hoisted like 20 feet into the air. So right after the security guard scene, it cuts to a guy showing up to kick the mom out. And she straight up shoots at him.
I love the part before that where Prince is being a jerk to his lawyer. And apparently the lawyer thanks him over the phone because he says, basically, you're welcome. The guy's being a crazy jerk. Of course I know what time it is. You're my lawyer. You better be okay with this. And he says something and then he says, you're welcome or something weird like that. It's just, he's a jerk to his lawyer and his lawyer likes it.
Right.
It's weird.
This is just, this movie is so hard. This is all over the place. It's just a mess with the edits. And there's likable, enjoyable stuff in here.
Well, kind of. This the next scene where the guy drives up to the house, and he pulls out a piece of paper.
Right.
And he's about to read the paper, and then all of a sudden you hear an explosion, and the piece of paper bursts into flames.
Yeah.
And then he jumps in the car and drives away at double speed. It's really poorly done. Yeah, it's one of those
like Gilligan's Island sped up footage stuff.
It was bad.
There's a lot of that in here.
And Georgina's mother steps out of behind a bush and
with a shotgun.
She
burned a piece of paper with a shotgun.
Yeah, yeah.
Without damaging
the man. Didn't hurt
the guy's
hands, fortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super strange. And then Anthony Newley shows up at the house.
Yeah.
And she shoots at him, and there's this funny thing. He grabs her glasses, and as soon as she can see it's him, she's fine.
Yeah, he walks in with flowers. As soon as he closes the door, the flowers explode.
Yeah.
He jumps behind a couch, grabs his shoe, yells pull, and throws it in the air.
That was great. I loved it.
It was okay. And he runs and grabs her glasses, puts them on, and she's, oh, yay!
And this scene, like, you kind of get to like the mom a little bit, and they have a nice exchange together. Like, I thought that was a likable moment.
I guess.
And then just cuts to Isaac Hayes plaster casting a woman when Anthony Newley comes home.
Yeah, that was weird.
It was weird, but Isaac Hayes is great in this. And they have like a little exchange about Georgina has the keys to the cabin. And I thought Isaac Hayes was just great in this. There's a couple of weird moments, but I thought he just nailed it.
He was okay.
And I don't know him as an actor for the most part. You know, he's in stuff occasionally, but he was great.
Yeah, so he's plaster casting this woman, and he's saying, I was there for the wedding, I was there for the divorce.
Yeah.
And just talking about it. The deal was you share this.
Yeah.
If one's there, the other can't be.
And at this point, this was the point where I was like, oh, Georgina is Stephanie Powers. This was the point where I finally realized what her character's name was.
It took me a while to get Sweeney.
Sweeney? I didn't pick up till like the end of the movie.
Yeah.
He was just Anthony Newley, you know? Isaac Hayes, he's Moriarty. That is just a terrible name for a guy. So I just refused in my notes to write Moriarty.
Yeah, I don't know. So then it goes to the cabin where the politician is chopping wood for some reason. Somebody like that wouldn't be chopping his own
Probably
wood.
Probably not, because he's so waspy in the party scene.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's chopping wood and loving it.
And it turns out that that's the worst cabin ever because Stephanie Powers comes out with two buckets and says, we got to go get water.
Right.
Come on, it's a 2-mile walk. Okay, no. I'm not going to that cabin without bringing it with me.
Right.
I'm not going to walk 2 miles for the water.
Wasn't there snow everywhere, too?
There was.
Couldn't you just fill those buckets with snow and have some water in a little while?
Probably. But while they're gone, Sweeney comes in and pokes around the cabin. Then he looks at the fireplace, and the next scene you see him on top of the roof putting
a piece of metal. Yeah, he clogs up the flue.
Blocks the fireplace, or the chimney.
Yeah.
Then he brings a box into the cabin. Turns out there's a skunk in it.
Yeah.
He releases a skunk into the cabin. And then he goes out and paints the window with something.
Right.
He's got this bucket with yellow paint dripping out the sides, it looks like, while he's painting the window.
Right.
Turns out it's just a bad prop bucket that's supposed to be honey.
Yeah.
And then he lets a bear out of his little van.
The yellow paint bucket was super confusing because I was like, I don't see yellow paint on anything. But yeah, I think it was just a prop bucket of paint.
Looked like it was from an elementary school play or something.
Right.
Just, okay, this is a honey bucket.
Yeah.
So he just painted the window with honey, and he poured it along the ways into the trees and lets out a bear. Gives now, the bear some honey and says, oh, there's more over there.
This was really infuriating for me, because this was just like, what's up with the timing? Like, he had no idea they were going to go for a 2-mile walk for water. He wasn't there.
No, he was at Jack's menagerie.
Right, picking up the bear.
Yeah.
Like, the continuity of this is crazy, because it shows him pull up after they have left. It's just like... He just got super lucky. I just pulled up and they just happened to not be here so I could set up my Home Alone style traps.
Yeah.
That's what I wrote here, like the Home Alone section of the movie.
Yeah.
He's just setting these booby traps.
Oh, but they showed up before he let the bear out. He finished the painting of the honey and went into the woods. They showed up and he went and let the bear out.
Right. So, didn't see the hippie grape van, the most recognizable car other than the Ghostbusters car. Like,
yeah, probably. It was really weird. So they walk in, and the politician starts a fire, and then starts to get kind of rapey.
Yeah.
Just gets really creepy with her, and she gets saved by the smoke.
Right.
As the smoke starts billowing out of the fireplace instead of going up the chimney. And so they run outside. So now he's already tried to get somebody plastered drunk and send them home with their drunk driver.
Yeah, at this point, he's now murdering them.
Trying to kill them with smoke and then a bear.
Yeah.
So they get and go outside and either get eaten by a bear or stay inside and get die of smoke inhalation.
Yeah, I'm very confused at this point. Like, oh, this guy is trying to murder his ex-wife, who he still has sex with occasionally.
Yeah. And so they run back inside, and then now we get Sweeney at a payphone.
Right.
And he's calling Prince. It's everywhere.
The amount of smoke that was in that cabin would have killed a person. And I get, like, okay, this is for comedic effect. Like, it's this whole plot by Neely, or Newley, Sweeney.
Sweeney, yeah.
but yeah, like, the amount of smoke in there would have killed them.
Yeah, it was just crazy. And you don't, no, you wouldn't go back inside.
Yeah.
If you had to.
I would just run from the bear, because you would 100% die of smoke inhalation in that house.
Yeah, yeah. Or go through and break a window and go out the other side or something.
Right.
If you're worried about the bear. But nope.
Yeah.
You find out later.
Logic in this movie.
Yeah. So Sweeney is calling Prince to saying, we've got your wife.
I thought this was funny. He had that fake German accent, and he's trying to, like, get ransom out of Prince. And Prince is just like...
You got the wrong number first.
Yeah.
And he calls back. Kidnappers don't get the wrong number.
Right.
Calls back, gets hung up on again. Calls back, don't hang up, this is my last dime.
I loved that.
That was okay.
Yeah.
And now Prince decides, okay, well, if you've got her, prove to me that I won't see her again, and I'll pay you whatever you want. That's now conspiracy to commit murder, basically.
Right.
So, you kill my wife, I'll pay you. It's okay.
Sweeney's asking for $100,000, and Prince says, if you can give me proof that she's dead, I'll give you $25,000.
Yeah, it was weird. And then it turns out Prince is in bed with some other hottie.
Right, yeah. I thought Newley was great in this. Like, that scene, the weird German accent and the whole, this is my last time. I like that scene.
I felt like he was trying too hard throughout the whole thing.
I really feel like there's some infuriating shit in this, but with a different edit.
Maybe.
I think it could be a good movie.
Cut out a lot of the bad stuff, maybe, but
it would end up being like a 60-minute movie.
Yeah, yeah. And now it goes back to the cabin.
I'm pushing hard for a reboot.
No. It goes back to the cabin where...
Yeah, they're freezing
just
in there.
They're freezing because they can't start a fire. There's
skunk
no more
comes
smoke.
Out and sprays the guy.
Well, the skunk comes out and she freaks out, runs into another room and slams the door.
Yeah.
And some great sound effect to say that the skunk is spraying and everybody starts reacting like it stinks.
Right. Kind of just bullshit.
Yeah.
And then we cut to the weirdest scene in the movie that doesn't belong in the movie.
Not at all.
Totally could have been cut. Sweeney shows up at home, and Isaac Hayes is there meditating with his girlfriend.
See, I wasn't sure if they were actually there, or if because of their casting earlier, this is what he created. I'm like, okay, what is it, Madame Trousseau?
Yeah.
Needs to figure out his secret, because those were perfect.
Yeah, they're just sitting there meditating, not responding to Sweeney at all.
Not
just
flinching, not blinking.
Staring off into space in a meditative pose.
While Sweeney talks to himself and them, is like, well... we all have our ways to reach whatever, and he grabs a beer.
Yeah, and then just cuts away. That's it. Just end of scene. It totally could have been removed from the movie.
Yeah, useless.
Had no laughs. It was just bizarre and just worthless.
Yeah.
And then it cuts back to the cabin.
Yeah, where it's the next morning, and I guess Georgina figures out that she knows who the bear is.
Yeah, she sees the bear at the window and realizes she knows the bear's name. Super confusing.
Wouldn't you know that a few, like the night before when the bear's sitting outside?
Yeah, she just peeks out the window and goes, Hector?
That was just weird.
Opens up the window and like, Hector.
And pushes him out of the way.
Yeah. So then, she knows the bear from Jack's Menagerie.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess.
And so then she steals the politician's car. And takes off on him.
Super weird thing. I don't get it at all.
No. So the politician runs out and gets scared by the bear, runs back in again. Just more of the same.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's just the continuity. This is a hard to follow movie.
Now my favorite outfit is in the next scene. It cuts to Mr. Prince talking to his lawyer.
Right.
Wearing this awesome plaid suit.
This plaid suit is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
It's very, like 1975.
Yeah, yeah. So it was advanced for the time.
Yeah, and the hat.
It was pretty awesome. And it cuts to Gina's mom outside of there, looking at his car and looking at a cement truck.
Right. That's all the setup you need to know what's coming next.
Yeah. And then it's back to Prince walking out of the construction trailer to his car with the attorney, opens the door, and cement pours out of the car.
Right.
Just very slapstick, lame. Dumb stuff.
Does he have a car phone?
Yes. Old school car phone.
So he has a car phone, and he says he needs the authorities, right?
Yeah.
But I was confused where that phone came from. Did they have car phones in 1975?
I don't know. Old movies, they show it occasionally.
I guess, yeah. I mean, the only, like, I can think of 80s movies where they show a car phone. Yeah. I'm thinking of, like, Trading Places. That's the earliest car phone I can think of. Like, oh my god, there's phones in cars.
Yeah. And it's just the old school handsets from desk phones, basically, right. What they had. But
right. That's
the same idea here.
He needs to call the police to investigate the kidnapping.
And right away you get to Moriarty getting home with two bumbling detectives walking up.
Yep, 55 minutes in, John Candy shows up as Officer Kopech.
Yeah, with second fiddle to this detective.
Detective Broom.
It was really interesting.
They were great.
And so Moriarty says, no, I'm not Sweeney, Lee, or goes in and comes out and says, wait, did you say Sweeney?
Right.
And he says, red door, and they start running, and it says, top floor. They miss him saying top floor.
Right.
So they run up the stairs to this red door.
This is the first, like, laugh out loud moment for me.
Before that, I really enjoyed that the detective knocks on the door, and he threatens to take action. Then he steps back, and he looks like he's going to do something. And then he says, Kopech.
Right, yeah.
And he tells Kopech to break the door down.
Yeah.
I thought it was kind of cool that he took the moment to compose himself, and then he, like, thought, no, I don't want to do this.
Yeah.
And then he makes Kopech do it.
And this is, like, just super recognizable John Candy. This is, like, SCTV age John Candy.
Yeah. Yeah. So John Candy breaks the door, and while doing so, he goes through the door.
Yes.
And it turns out that's the door to the outside.
Outside of the building. From
4 or 5 floors up.
Yeah. No reason for that door to be there.
Fortunately, there's a rope.
Yes. And somehow he managed to grab it.
And the rope isn't secured to something.
Right.
Because he swings out on it, and it goes down a little bit, and he swings right back into the next floor down.
It's totally absurd, but I love it.
I love it. And then he just calmly looks up and says,
nobody there, sir.
Yeah, nobody there, sir.
I love it.
That was it. And they look over at Moriarty as he reaches them, and he says, red door, huh? Yeah,
right.
Top floor. And they just, top floor, and they go up.
Yeah, almost dies.
Yeah, not a big deal. Yeah. So Moriarty leads them to Sweeney, who's in this awesome hanging bed with Moriarty's girl, apparently. It's a really cool red bed hanging by chains. I'm like, that's a pretty cool bed.
Yeah.
But
that's very confusing. Like, Is Sweeney in bed with the girl?
Yeah, he's in bed with that girl.
So Sweeney's banging Isaac Hayes' broad.
There was some conversation about it that I didn't get. Yeah, some mention
about it, just like he was drunk and, you know, it was an indiscretion. But still, Isaac Hayes is not phased or upset. Just swinging hippie-free love. Like, yeah, you want to bang my lady? Cool, okay. Cool, bro.
Weird.
Yeah, and there's another weird cut. So, and then the woman is clothed. So I think that's another cut where they cut out some nudity.
There's a weird cut from Sweeney saying he's going to make tea for the detectives to the detective calling them preverts. I don't know about you, preverts.
Right, yeah. So they're alluding to the fact that Isaac Hayes and Sweeney are
are gay.
But they walked in on Sweeney in bed with a woman.
Yeah. And Moriarty says, if we're gay, what about her?
Right.
A really uncomfortable line from John Candy.
Right.
Well, when back then, everybody was rolling because
of it. Yeah, in 75, I'm sure this went over. Today, it would not fly in a movie.
His line is, maybe she's a fag too. Can't tell about nothing these days.
Which, I have to admit, made me laugh.
Oh, yeah.
But it also was just like, oh, man, that's probably the bluest thing John Candy has said in a movie.
Maybe.
I mean, we'll find out eventually, but...
Yeah, that was pretty bad. I love that all these scenes with John Candy have this great Dragnet music ripoff.
Yeah.
It's so close, it's just bad.
The detective and him, the duo is just awesome.
They're good.
Yeah, and I have to say, there is a follow-up movie called Find the Lady that features these two as the stars of the movie, and I am so looking forward to it.
I might be, I don't know. It depends on how many other cops are in it, because the cops in this I just can't stand.
Yeah, but at the moment they show up, John Candy is great as Kopech. Broom and Kopech just seems like a classic comedy duo, you know?
Maybe they saw this, people saw this and said, we need a movie of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, 55 minutes, they walk in and it's my first audible laugh for the entire movie. You know, I loved it. I thought they were great. And then we have Stephanie Powers showing up at Sweeney's place, right?
Well, first, the cops show up at Georgina's mom's house.
Oh, I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, they show up and just get shot at a bunch of times. And they drive off, John Candy's driving off with the detective following, wait for me, just a bunch of dumb stuff.
Right.
And that's it. That's the whole scene.
Just shoot at the cops, no problem.
Nope.
Stay away from that lady's house.
Nope. And then we've got Georgina showing up at
Sweeney's place. And she's looking for the ransom money, right?
Yeah, because she heard that she was kidnapped.
Yes, she heard it on the radio on the way there, right? So she shows up there looking for the ransom money. And then they have this, like, kind of sweet moment. This was the moment where I was just like, I like this movie. I like it. I remember this. Because Sweeney and her, they have this sweet moment. And she talks about how she doesn't want to be a gold digger anymore. And they kind of rekindle their romance. And
I kind of felt that way, too. But then I realized that that was actually just a useless scene.
Yeah?
Yeah. They could have been, okay, now we know what we're doing. We're together. Now let's go do the rest. But no, let's try to do this together, and it was just weird.
Yeah.
Because just a minute later, they're not doing any of that stuff they were talking about. They do go kidnap the politician.
Well, they have a tender moment, and then Sweeney leaves to arrange for the two of them to fly off, but it's like a three...
That's after they go kidnap the politician.
Is that?
Who was already taken off from the cabin. Somehow they just run across him and kidnap him. And then they go... Put him in a the plaster cast that Moriarty had been doing earlier.
Right. They put Burton Sinclair in the plaster cast. Send Prince a message via brick.
Yeah,
and
that was interesting. And she's telling the politician that he'll tell the story, omitting key parts.
Right.
About them.
This is very convoluted.
Yeah. And he's out ordering plane tickets. She overhears it and gets mad about something.
This is like just so unnecessarily convoluted, too. Because
yeah,
it needs a reboot.
I don't know about that. So Sweeney's going over the plans and says they're going to put the money in the trash, which he'll be hiding in. And actually it goes to him doing it. He just explains it, and there's no point in going over because he goes and gets in the trash can where they're supposed to drop things. He's dressed... in this bright orange hat and in this weird jumpsuit. And it turns out later that that's the garbage men of the area wear those.
Yeah.
So he's hiding in the trash can where they're supposed to drop the money. And all the police are there waiting for the drop. And they're all dressed as trash men too.
Yeah.
Which didn't make sense. And one of the detective says, any questions? And one of them says, what if somebody thinks we're real trash men?
Yeah.
And he ignores the question and says, okay, nobody moves till I say anything.
Right. Or till I blow the whistle. This is just...
Yeah.
This is a mess, but it's an enjoyable mess.
I don't know.
Like, would you recommend this to somebody?
Not yet. Not at all.
No?
No. Because right then, now it's going back to Moriarty at his house.
Right.
He shows up drunk, finished a bottle of whiskey, it looks like.
Yeah.
Throws it. Does this awesome smack the bottle on the bottom.
That was an awesome move.
Slap the lid and it goes flying.
Yeah. I don't know if that move could ever work, but it was awesome. I love him in this scene. He's just awesome.
Yeah. He starts talking to all the plaster casts and it was weird.
Right.
and he picks up a sledgehammer.
Yeah, and we've got Burt and Sinclair in one of the plaster casts. This is a great comedy moment. They've got this great shot where it's just the eye slits through the camera, and he's watching Isaac Hayes smash all of his art with a sledgehammer.
Well, as soon as he picks up the sledgehammer and gets ready to swing it, he goes,
uh-oh. Yeah, all muffled. It's a great moment. I love this scene.
And apparently the drop point is within shouting distance of Sweeney's house.
Right.
And the detective didn't figure that out.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this is Sweeney for sure.
I didn't think about that at all. But yeah, any competent detective would have been like, oh, this is directly below his house.
Yeah, a 30-second jog for John Candy at the time.
Yeah.
Because Isaac Hayes is beating up his plaster art.
Yeah, and then throwing the plaster cast out the window.
And so the detective sends...
Kopech. John Candy.
To go figure that out and stop the noise.
Right.
And it happens to be him.
And this is one of the greatest scenes in the movie. So Isaac Hayes has the plaster cast with Burton Sinclair in it, almost out the window.
Yeah.
When Kopech runs in and
stops him.
Yeah, stops him. They're
struggling over it.
Yeah.
And they smack the face of the artwork.
Yeah.
And
it reveals Burton's face, like, just coming out of the plaster cast.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest laughs of the movie, Isaac Hayes goes,
oh my god, I've done it. I've created life.
Yes. And they both just look amazed. It's such a great moment. And immediately after that...
we get the drop.
Right, we get the drop. I don't know how the original plan was supposed to work out.
I don't know.
But a guy runs by...
A drunk guy stumbles up, and it looks like it's supposed to be... the guy who's picking up the money from the drop.
Right.
So he walks up with a bottle, and he just slowly goes and puts the bottle in the trash can and puts his hand in. And as soon as he does that, it, like, super fast speed,
it's the Gilligan's Island, like over, oh my goodness, what they call it. It's the overcranking.
Yeah, bad Keystone Cop stuff.
Right.
Where they're just all running towards a trash can and everybody's running around. I hate the cops in this movie.
I got some laughs out of it. I don't know what the plan was. The plan's not really clear, but then...
Obviously, they're being double-crossed because when Georgina heard Sweeney getting the plane tickets, she got upset about something.
She didn't hear that he was booking two tickets, so she assumed...
Maybe she was mad there weren't three. I don't know.
I thought the assumption... I thought that she thought that Sweeney was going to take the money and run by himself. Because it cuts... He's booking the plane tickets, then it cuts to her looking bummed out, and then it cuts to him saying, two.
Yeah.
You know?
It was
so
weird.
I thought the whole thing is she thought she was going to be double-crossed, but
they didn't
wasn't.
Make that clear at all. But yeah. She decided to double-cross him with her mom.
Yeah, so they take the cash from Newley in the trash can.
While all the distraction's happening because the cops are being stupid.
Was that distraction planned, or did that just happen?
I think that was the distraction he was supposed to take off, but Georgina's mom shows up. Takes the lid off the trash can and freaks out that Sweeney's in it.
Yeah, but still takes the money and splits in a garbage truck.
Yeah, slams the lid back on him. He stands up and he's walking around in the trash can, really bad comedy style.
From this point on, this movie took off and was just totally enjoyable for me.
I don't know about that. So he's walking around in the trash can. He trips and rolls and takes out a whole line of cops.
Every cop is knocked down by him. Full-on bowling pin noises going on and everything.
The detective, what's going on? Who are you? And he says some weird name.
Kowalski, sir.
From a whatever division.
Yeah.
He's like, of course you are. I never forget a face.
Yeah, I love it.
The detective is so dumb.
I love him.
So he's got himself in as one of the cops, basically.
Yeah.
And... Georgina and her mom are taken off in a trash can, dressed as garbage men as well, in a trash truck, and they're taken off. And so they go get in the car, and Sweeney doesn't want to go, which, like, just hoping to fade out.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite. Broom goes, Kopech, Flanagan, Kowalski, you're with me. And the people that go to the car are John Candy, who we know is Kopech, an Asian man who is Flanagan. And then Kowalski, who is Sweeney.
That was weird.
I just love it. Like, I don't know if that was part of the joke, but for me that was very funny.
That was pretty good. So they get in the car, and they're driving, and Sweeney says, there they are, pointing to a trash truck.
Right.
And then they stop and go and turn and follow this trash truck. and they turn into a lot, and they follow them into the lot. And
It's the garbage truck lot.
Yes, it's where all the garbage men are getting ready to go out.
That's hilarious to me, too, because they pull in there, and Kopech says to Broom, like, there they are, sir.
Yep, one of
them.
Good
work, Kopech. And then they get out. I love it.
That was pretty bad.
And then we have the great garbage interrogation.
Yeah.
Every garbage man is lined up.
They're all lined up. It's weird.
Stephanie Powers and her mom have managed to get away.
The detective says, any of you men recognize any of these men?
Right.
And eventually Sweeney says, I do, sir. And he says, that guy. And so the detective points and he raises his hand a little higher and a little to the side, apparently pointing to the taller guy.
I thought it was great.
And this is a big guy that looks kind of tough. The detective comes up and he says, Kopech. It's like he's afraid of interrogating the guy.
Yeah.
So Kopech says, all right, where's the money? And the guy in this weird voice says, come on, you know we don't get paid till Friday.
Yeah, I love it.
It was great. Yeah. I love the weird, great voice the guy did for this big, tough-looking garbage man.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not a garbage man. He just looks all weird. I'm a cop. And he gets told, watch your cover.
Yeah, I'm so confused by that. Like, they're interrogating them, but they're still pretending to be garbage men?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
I'm very confused by that, but yeah. I mean, I don't care. It was still enjoyable to me.
Yeah.
I don't know if at this point the movie just made me dumb enough that I appreciated it, but maybe. But honestly, from the point of the drop on, I was just in. I just appreciated everything.
I don't know. We missed the point where Prince realized that Georgina and her mom were in the garbage truck.
Oh, yeah. He spots the mom.
And the attorney's there with him. They're both also dressed like garbage men for the stakeout.
Yeah. And everybody's dressed like garbage men. Everything's confusing.
Yeah. The attorney realizes, oh, that's great news because she'll get arrested for extortion and go to jail. And then I could tear her house down?
Right.
It was just weird stuff. And then it cuts to him at the mother's house.
Right, yeah, with tons of bulldozers and...
Yeah, gigantic bulldozers that are way too big for a house, but...
And this whole ending... This is just very convoluted.
No, everybody arrives at this house about the same time. Right.
But I have the note... They almost murder a chicken in the making of this movie.
Yes, so Sweeney put up a detour sign, which somehow tricked the cops.
Right.
And they go this weird roundabout way... And you cut to a scene where they're turning a corner and there's a bunch of chickens in the road.
Right. And they full on run over one.
Most of them get out of the way. Right. One of them just right there gets run over.
And the fucking stunt driver just does not give a shit about that chicken.
It was a great scene. I'm like, are we going to see a flat chicken?
Yes. It does not seem like it was like added for comedic effect. No. It doesn't seem like it occurred
intentionally. I think it was supposed to get out of the
way. Yeah.
And just didn't do it.
I think in 75, they just hoped the chickens would have gotten out of the way and went for it.
Yeah. And this chicken just stayed right in the middle of the car. It survived.
Yeah. I mean, you see it walking away for a moment.
It wasn't happy.
Yeah.
There were a lot of feathers.
I think the chicken survived, most likely.
For a while, at least.
I mean, for comedic effect. That totally works.
That was a good scene. So, as everybody's arriving, Georgina is offering a truce to Prince.
Right.
And she says, with the attorney saying a bunch of stuff in the background, that she's going to tell the cops the truth. And he's like, well, what's that?
I do not know what was going on at this point. I gave up understanding what was going on with their negotiations. I just enjoyed the comedic moments.
I get it. She's saying that she's telling him that she'll tell the cops that Prince and his attorney arranged the kidnapping to wash some dirty campaign funds.
Right.
So just saying money laundering is why she was kidnapped. And it was her husband that put it on.
Which would have been the weirdest trial in the history of Canadian court.
Yeah.
How could she have proved that? It didn't make any sense to me.
No, but just implying it would have caused a lot of trouble and might have gotten Sweeney out of trouble. Which Sweeney doesn't seem to be in trouble right now.
Right. Nobody seems to know that Sweeney has the money and is nowhere to be seen.
Yeah. So she's done threatening him, and the attorney's kind of like, that's interesting.
Right.
And they seem to be going with that deal.
Yeah.
And Morgetta brings the politician up in the plaster still.
I love this. And he's just like turning him to point at people and stuff.
Yeah, he's in this weird discus move.
He hasn't taken him out of the plaster, just his face is exposed. Yeah. And he's carried him all the way there without taking him out of the plaster. Going to drop him in front of Prince to talk to him in the plaster and just move him around.
And they threaten each other with, oh, you're never going to build even a hot dog stand. And you're threatening me, you won't even be head of the garbage department.
Right.
Dumb stuff. Sweeney pulls the cartoon guy in a tree bit where he's walking around in a pine tree.
Right, yeah.
That was just dumb.
I loved it.
And then all of a sudden, somehow the cops made it back. They careen through the driveway, almost hitting things. Georgina's mom gets scared, turns, and shoots the shotgun. Shoots the politician out of the plaster. And right. He just jumps back, and he's all white, and he grabs his crotch to hide himself.
Right.
It's just weird.
I loved and then, it. I thought it was hilarious.
For some reason, the bulldozers start to move, and then they knock Prince's car up on end.
Yes.
And Prince gets knocked into a net trap.
I don't know how any of that worked, or how any of that was set up, or anything. It just
none of it makes sense.
It just happened.
Okay, let's have just this weird stuff happen. All of
a
sudden,
it was a weird Rube Goldberg mousetrap device that happened when the bulldozers moved.
Yeah, and the cops go right through and into a fountain.
Yes.
And then they get out of the car.
And we get the money bit prank, where it's the little boy peeing fountain.
Yeah, well, the detective steps out, and he's just, like, moving the water and just even opens his mouth for a second.
Yeah, he's opening his mouth to drink the water until he realizes it's a statue peeing.
Yeah, and they all walk up and look at him, and he says, Kopech, they're all under arrest.
Right.
And that's a smart thing to do when you're standing in water and they're all up and they can get away.
Right.
Dumb cop.
They let themselves get arrested.
Yeah, they stayed there. They didn't move. So it cuts to them going into, getting walked into the paddy wagon with a bunch of
cops.
Yeah,
I love this scene. So Flanagan, the Asian police officer, is writing down what they're being arrested for, and Broom's just like, indecent exposure, firing a firearm within city limits, and just files like the cast of characters into the paddy wagon.
Moriarty's girlfriend, it's under his breath, creating a disturbance.
Yes, yeah, I like that. That was funny. Yeah, so everybody gets filed into the back of the paddy wagon.
Yeah, more stupid cop stuff because the car full of cops and garbage men now shows up. They all pile out and then pile right back in.
Yeah, very Keystone Cops.
Yeah. You see Sweeney go into the house and grab the cash that Georgina and her mom had grabbed, put it in his shirt, and the detective walks up to the front of the paddy wagon and he says, take him away, and it turns out to be Sweeney.
Right.
And he says,
What's your name again?
Kowalski.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, never forget a face. And he says, yes, sir, and they drive off.
Yep, and then great animated ending sequence.
And then you just hear them start arguing.
I guess at a certain point, I stopped giving a shit about continuity, and that's the point where I was able to, like, enjoy this film.
I don't know.
But for me, like, at the 55-minute mark when John Candy shows up, from then on out, it's enjoyable.
I liked his part. I just didn't like the rest of the cops. I didn't like the other detective that much, but the other cops I hated. The stupid Keystone Cop bits.
You've got the Amazon synopsis, right?
Yeah, and it's bad. So Amazon, it's got 2.7 out of 5 stars. The synopsis is weird. It starts with John Candy heads up a hysterical cast, which is all a lie. The only thing that's true is John Candy.
Yeah, hysterical
he
cast.
He doesn't head up the cast.
The
cast is not hysterical.
I loved it, man. I really...
Okay, so John Candy heads up a hysterical cast in this laugh-a-minute tale of a jealous husband and his attempts to keep his wife from leaving him.
Whoa.
Okay. Laugh-a-minute, lie.
Yes, occasional laughs.
Jealous husband, ex-husband. Not so jealous, just ex-husband. He's not jealous because he's still getting it.
Right.
Attempts to keep his wife from leaving him. She's already left him.
Right, or is it... And it's not even true for her current
no,
husband,
he doesn't
Prince.
Care about her.
He does,
Prince doesn't care.
Not jealous at whatsoever.
No, he's banging other chicks.
Yeah.
He doesn't care. So when Skeet, played by Anthony Newley... Who's Skeet?
There is no Skeet.
I don't get it.
That maybe that's his nickname?
I don't remember hearing it once.
It's never used in the film.
I hear Sweeney. When... Skeet, played by Anthony Newley, vows to stop at nothing to win back his wife. there was no vow. He signs up for more than he bargained for, and one by one, his bungled plans descend into comedic chaos. I understand the chaos, not so much comedic chaos.
I think comedic chaos is fair.
And they are kind of bungled plans. It was bad.
I don't know. It's weird and it's bad, but I think I might watch this again.
I don't know. I think that the whole John Candy heads up is just a way to get people to buy it.
Yeah.
Because they put him on the cover and they just want people to think it's all about John Candy.
You see that happen all the time with movies like this.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see this more and more until we get to his actual John Candy vehicles.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is public domain because a bunch of studios have this. You see at least 3 different DVD covers. 2 of them feature him.
Right.
One of them feature the animated credits.
One of the ones I saw is It's a twofer. It's this and Find the Lady,
which is apparently the sequel, the
Broom and Kopech movie, which I'm super excited for.
Weird. Okay, so Rotten Tomatoes, 13% of people liked it. It has a 2.8 out of 5 rating out of over 1,300 ratings.
I mean, I think that's a fair rating. It's like, it's okay.
That's average. That works.
Yeah.
IMDb gave it a 4.1 out of 10. And it has plot keywords: female nudity, breasts, independent film.
Those are the plot keywords.
Those are the plot keywords. So if you're watching it on YouTube, you missed two of those at least.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah. You just get some weird bad cuts.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It was bad. A bunch of reviews on everything, and they're all just really mad that it's saying that it's starring John Candy when, nope,
it's I've not. Seen a few of those, yeah, where it's just like, this is not John, yeah.
Yeah, people are just complaining that I spent $4 for this, and I'm going to finish it, but there's no John Candy, and it's like, okay.
I wouldn't mind if I spent $4 for it. I mean, it's cool it's free on YouTube,
yeah.
But I think that's the best review I could give this film is, I will purchase this movie on DVD at some point.
I don't know about that. I don't know. It's free. I mean, all you're going to get is a little bit of nudity, maybe, if you buy it.
For me, I think it's a movie that I would rewatch.
Maybe if it shows up on Netflix and I have nothing else to watch.
Right. This is funny because I started off hating this movie.
Oh,
and then at a certain point, I just gave up caring and enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's just so confusing. It was hard to watch.
And, I mean, just the idea of, like, Broom and Kopech are great in this. So the whole idea of a movie driven by those two characters, I'm stoked for Find the Lady.
As long as they don't treat the cops the way they did in this one. I can't stand the cops in this one.
I liked them.
I got the bit, but come on.
Yeah.
How many times can you play it? Oh, the car shows up and he waves them off and they all pile back in the driveway. What?
Right.
How many times are you going to do that? How many times are you going to speed up the film to at least two or three times?
The overcranking stuff is, it's a little obnoxious because, I don't know. I grew up with Gilligan's Island was my favorite show, and they do a ton of that.
But not overdone. And, like, it was just one quick thing, and that was it. And they weren't going, like, the speeds they're doing on this, and it wasn't the Benny Hill Keystone Cop style.
This is, but you got to admit, this is far and away better than Class of 44.
Oh, definitely better than the last one, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
This has enjoyable moments.
Yeah, yeah.
And John Candy is amazing in it.
John Candy did great.
Again, delivers stellar performance.
There's nobody there, sir.
Yeah. The best part of the movie.
Yeah.
John Candy.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is just proving to me that, like, even if it's a bad movie, he's great in it.
Yeah, he'll make you happy.
Yeah. I mean, Class of 44 is a super bummer, because he doesn't even get to deliver jokes. He just gets made fun of by an obnoxious fuck.
People saying that he's going to be a torpedo for the Navy. That's
right.
That's kind of a bummer, yeah, but
yeah.
He still does it well.
He does it well,
he's a good patriot.
At this one, he finally gets to deliver, in my opinion, the best joke of the movie.
Yeah, it was good.
So
he was part of the best joke, because he was with Isaac Hayes for the, I've done it, I've created life.
Yes, that is good. And the next one's going to be interesting. It's 1976 Tunnel Vision. A committee investigating TV's first uncensored network examines a typical day's programming, which includes shows, commercials, news programs, you name it.
Looks interesting.
It looks super interesting. It's got SCTV alums. It's got Ron Silver. This is just, the cast is so deep that I'm expecting this to be just a sketch.
It looks like sketch stuff, but it looks like
Chevy Chase. Is
in
this?
Kind of weird.
So I'm looking forward to this if we can find this.
I watched the first couple minutes and it was really interesting, kind
of
weird, but it's going to be interesting.
It's not well reviewed, so we shall see.
Yeah,
and I have a feeling it's going to be a movie that's going to feature John Candy for like two minutes or something.
Yeah, a scene.
Yeah,
at most.
Let's see if we can find it. I want to get through this one because Find the Lady is going to be great.
Yeah, we got this and one more before Find the Lady. If we can find the other one, The Clown Murderers.
So we got Tunnel Vision, Clown Murders, and Find the Lady.
Yep. I know you're excited.
It's going to be hard for me not to watch Find the Lady next.
Watch it. Just, we can't talk about it until we do this.
I guess. If it's as convoluted as this, I'm going to have to watch it immediately before we do this. So, I don't know. Mixed reviews for this one. I say watch it.
Maybe. If there's nothing else. It wasn't worth it.
If you're a John Candy completionist, make this your second to last movie that you watch.
If you thought A Fish Called Wanda,
that's a good point,
was good and was maybe too good,
right?
And you need to scale it back a little bit,
yeah.
Or it wasn't A Fish Called Wanda wasn't convoluted enough. You needed to add some more complexity to the plot and not be as funny. Watch this.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is this movie is definitely
trying to be that style.
It's definitely a Canadian bad version of A Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very much that type of movie where you've got a convoluted heist. Everything down to like the weird double crossing and all of that stuff. It's very much A Fish Called Wanda.
Yeah, but that Fish Called Wanda was done so well that it's hard to compare it. I feel bad comparing it.
Right.
But just I got the feel for it after watching and reading reviews and stuff. It just kind of felt like that's what they're trying to do.
So how about John Candy in the main role of Sweeney? Does that make it a better movie?
I don't know, because I just didn't like the character.
Yeah, I think that
might have made it worse, because I'd feel bad that John Candy is hated.
I couldn't see him as that character either. Sweeney's just too, like, smarmy, and I don't know.
Yeah. Maybe as the main detective, but I kind of like that he got to do the good stuff while the detective was just the worst.
I love him as Kopech. I say leave him as Kopech, but yeah. All right, on to Tunnel Vision.
That was kind of fun.
Sorry, folks, park's closed. The moose out front should have told you.